Welcome to the Good Fight Radio Show with pastor and author Joe Schimmel, bringing you vital and uncompromised truths that you will not hear in the mainstream media, discussing contemporary issues in light of the Bible and how these issues relate to family, culture, and the church. The heart of the show is to glorify Jesus Christ and expose the works of darkness as he commanded in Ephesians 5:11. God states in his word that he would rise up ministries in the last days to do mighty exploits that would turn many to righteousness. Now here with vital insights from God's word is pastor and author Joe Schimmel.
Praise the Lord, brothers and sisters. We'd like to welcome you to the fastest half hour on radio here at the Good Fight Radio Show, where we learn to discern the difference between good and evil, light and darkness, and discover our awesome God's will for our lives. Today, I want to talk about what influences have taken place in regard to the recent bombings. There's still a lot of people questioning what happened there with the Tsarnaev brothers and the Boston Marathon bombing that took place. And apparently, they had set off also to go to Times Square and conduct another bombing there in New York. And thankfully, they were stopped before that took place. But what were the influences? In fact, a lot of the influences are being hidden in the popular mainstream, lamestream media. And it is lame, folks, because there's definitely, you know, leftist elitists out there that have an agenda to promote certain things. And I always thought, what strange bedfellows, far left liberals have with radical Muslims. And I thought, wow, you know, what do they share? I mean, Hollywood, you know how many movies could be made about the Islamic threat and terrorism and so forth, and they'd be blockbuster type movies because it's a real threat, it's close to reality, yet you don't really see many movies like that. Instead, you have everything but that coming out of Hollywood, and I thought, you know, it's interesting, what are the common denominators? Because does Hollywood realize if Sharia law was, you know, set forth in the United States of America, that it would be off with the heads of the Hollywood elite, especially because of the espousal of, you know, homosexuality and drunkenness and many of the things that Islam stands against? But they do have similar agendas, and this is where they make interesting bedfellows. Many Muslims, as well as many leftists, hate Israel as a country, wish she'd cease to exist. Many also hate Christianity, hate Jesus Christ. So there are some interesting parallels, and sometimes people are united more by their hate for something than by their disagreement on other fundamental issues. Now, it's interesting, though, what were the influences on the Tsarnaev brothers, who had killed people and wounded, you know, well over 100 people in the horrific bombings there in Boston? Now, it's interesting because the Chechenian president wanted to distance the influence of his nation and Islam from the young men that committed these murders. And he claimed that it was because of the culture of the United States, the influence of the United States. And that's the reason that these young guys went mad. And then others said, no, it had nothing to do with American culture. It was more, it was the Islamic influence, in the Quran and what have you. And what's interesting, I find that the truth is more in between. I think there's some reality on both sides. There's definitely a cultural influence of violence here in the culture of death here in the United States of America. And there was definitely, it's undeniable, an Islamic influence. Now, I think it's interesting that the first tweet that was sent out by one of the brothers after the bombing, the younger of the Tsarnaev brothers, he made a tweet, and his particular tweet was lyrics from a Jay-Z song. And then later on, he tweeted from an Eminem song. And it's interesting because both of these rap artists are known for, explicit lyrics, sometimes very violent lyrics, sometimes espousing drug use or glorifying drug use, and what have you. Now, it's interesting because when you look at some of Jay-Z's lyrics, here's from a song by Kanye West where Jay-Z sings these particular lyrics that I'm going to quote, a song called Monster that came out relatively recently. Jay-Z sings that he's a, quote, a zombie with no conscience, a mother blanker, monster, murder in black convertibles. I kill a block, I murder avenues, rape and pillage a village, women and children. Now, that's absolutely disgusting. Here is Jay-Z singing, rapping about raping little children, folks. Okay? And this is a guy that, seems to be, a buddy of Obama's on some level. And he's singing about raping children. And, you know, we teach our children through music. You know, we teach them the ABCs. Countries go to war with a soundtrack in the background to motivate them. We know that music can open our hearts up. A lot of people will say, man, this concert changed my life. Or, you know, they're influenced by this artist or that artist. And here we have rappers singing the most disgusting lyrics. And of course, I pointed out that the first tweet from the younger, the Sarnaev brothers, after the bombing in Boston were Jay-Z lyrics. So certainly he was hearing lyrics that were encouraging violence. He also tweeted from some of Eminem's lyrics. And in fact, Eminem has a song called Role Model. He didn't tweet from this song as far as I know of, but listen to the lyrics. Speaking of role models, what's Eminem a role model for? In his song Role Model, Eminem says, follow me and do exactly what the song says. Smoke weed. By the way, the Sarnaev that had tweeted from Eminem did smoke plenty of weed. Take pills, drop out of school, kill people, and drink. We know he killed some people, that's for sure. And Eminem also states later in the song, now follow me and do exactly as you see. Don't you want to grow up and be just like me? I slap women and eat shrooms, as in mushrooms, hallucinogenic drugs, then OD. This is not the kind of influence, and unfortunately, it's tragic, folks, that millions and millions of young people, and not just young people, but older people now in the United States, are being influenced by these types of lyrics from top artists, and we wonder what's happening to our country. I mean, it reveals the human heart that humans love evil, love darkness, and love to glorify it. And now some would say, hey, these artists are basically a reflection of society. And others would say, well, society is a reflection of these artists as the artists are influencing. And I think personally, it's a vicious cycle. There's no doubt that there's many heroin dealers and meth dealers that are a reflection of society. However, that doesn't excuse their meth and heroin dealing. Doesn't excuse Eminem and Jay-Z's peddling of perversity. By the way, for a whole history of what's going on in pop music and rock music and hip-hop, rap, and what have you, you can get our video called They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll. Just go to goodfight.org, goodfight.org, and you can grab that video, the 10-hour version or the 3-hour version. It's definitely eye-popping. We've seen a ton of people saved through that. If you're trying to bring someone to a knowledge of Christ, it's a great eye-opener, which shows them the reality of the spiritual realm and that Satan's very real and that God is very real and that we need the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives. It's an especially good video if you're trying to wake young people up to the satanic influences in their lives, because so many tens of thousands, millions of young people are unfortunately going down the broad road to destruction, and unfortunately the popular music of today provides a soundtrack for their lives. We want to encourage you again, go to goodfight.org. If you don't pick up that video, They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll, check out our theater. And there's all these free video clips you could check out, and we just finished one not long ago about Kesha. Many of you have seen our video on Beyonce that we finished not too long ago after the Super Bowl. Has over 1 million hits now, or right around 1 million hits. Incredible viewing. The Kesha video, we hope you can see that, because many, many of your young people are listening to Kesha. And young people that you know, sometimes just children, friends. In fact, my daughters had gone to the mall not too long ago, and they said, hey, Dad, we went into the mall, and we went to like 10 or 11 stores. Of course, my heart about stopped right there. And they said, you know what? Each of my daughters came to me separately and said, Dad, Kesha's song Die Young was playing in every store but one after going to about 10, 11 stores. And they said, we can't believe how popular it is. They told me this because they're aware that Kesha's song Die Young is about her as a satanic cult leader leading people to their destruction. So I want to encourage you to check that out on goodfight.org. Pray before you watch it, because it's a pretty heavy video. Now, obviously, it was far more than the culture of death being perpetuated by many in Hollywood and the music industry and the liberal media here in the United States of America that encouraged these young people. In fact, the greater influence, I personally believe, was the influence of Islam. In fact, it wasn't hidden. It's come out. It's a known thing now, especially the older brother, who was basically the ringleader, that the main influence in his life was radical Islam, that he wanted to fulfill what he believed was the duty of the Quran, and that was to spread terror, to bring in Sharia law around the world. Now, folks, what happened in Boston was horrific, but we need to realize that this has been going on for years and years. In fact, John Wesley, one of the greatest evangelists by far and away that ever lived, I mean, literally millions of people have been impacted by his ministry, hundreds of thousands saved in his lifetime through his ministry. He stated this in the 1700s, quote, ever since the religion of Islam appeared in the world, the espousers of it have been as wolves and tigers to all other nations, rending and tearing all that fell into their merciless paws and grinding them with their iron teeth, that numberless cities are razed from the foundation and only their name remaining. that many countries which were once the garden of God are now a desolate wilderness, and that so many once numerous and powerful nations are vanished from the earth. Such was and is at this day the rage, the fury, the revenge of these destroyers of humankind," end quote. That was from John Wesley on Islam. Now, it's amazing because he was saying that in the 1700s. Now, in the 1900s, over 2 million Christians were killed by Muslims. I'm talking about Armenia. Armenian Christians were killed, over 2 million of them. In fact, President Obama, one of his campaign promises before his first term was that he would demand that Turkey would apologize for killing so many Christians in Armenia. And then when he visited Turkey, of course, Obama had broke that promise, and many in the Armenian community were quite heartbroken because of that. And when he was asked why he didn't keep his promise, he said, because he's more about things that unify than that divide. Well, then why did he make that promise, you know? Well, just recently, I mean, that's 2 million, and Armenia almost, you know, pretty much ceased to be a nation at that point. I mean, it obliterated them as a nation. And it's interesting, just in the last 20, 25 years or so, over 2 million Christians have been killed by Muslims in Sudan, black Christians in Sudan. And then since then, also many animists and what have you in Sudan. In fact, I visited Sudanese refugees about 5 years ago, and I held a little boy in my arms who couldn't have been more than 4 or 5 years old, maybe 5 or 6. And I was playing soccer with him, but he had one leg. He was hopping around with all the other young refugees as we played soccer together. And as I held him in my arms and talked to him and asked him what happened, he talked about how they had escaped the Sudanese assault by the Muslims and crossed Egypt into Israel. And he said that a grenade, when he was in Sudan, was thrown onto the bus that he was in, and it killed his father, exploded, of course, killed his father, took his leg off. Now, I just visited him again, you know, 5, 6 years later, just about a month and a half ago, and it was great to see that he still appears to be going forward. But these atrocities, these are, you know, this is real flesh and blood. These are real lives, families that have been destroyed, parents that have been killed. And it doesn't, it's not people say, oh, it's the Arabs, it's this. No, it's not. It's not Arabs. I mean, if you go to Israel, there's more, the highest ethnic group that makes the Christian faith up in Israel are Arabs. They're not going around bombing everybody and killing everybody. The Arabs that are Christians, and there's plenty of them over in Israel, aren't doing these things. The problem is this radical form of Islam. And it's, you can look at bombings in Indonesia, you can look at bombings in Russia and what have you. It's not a race thing, folks. It's a religious mandate from the Quran, which dictates importing and you know, taking over nations for Sharia law and enforcing Islam around the world. Well, folks, does this really come from the Quran? Or because some people say he really shouldn't even call it radical Islam, because, you know, just Islam itself, just fundamental, straightforward Islam as it's packaged in the Quran dictates these things. And there's a point to be made there. In fact, we'll look at what the Quran says about this on the other side of the break. Stay tuned. We'll be back to go deeper in less than 30 seconds.
You're listening to the Good Fight Radio Show with pastor and author Joe Schimmel, discussing contemporary issues in light of the Bible and how they relate to family, culture, and the church. If you'd like to learn more about our life-changing resources, such as They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll and The Submerging Church, check out our website at goodfightradio.org.
All right, welcome back to the Good Fight Radio Show. We've been talking about the bombings that took place, the marathon bombings that took place not too long ago, and people still trying to understand what was at the heart of that. And the Chechenian president, of course, came out and said, hey, it was the United States. It was the culture of the United States that kind of bred this violence and what have you. And of course, many on this side of the world said, no, it was the Islamic influence, which was so apparent in the brother's own statements before the bombings and postings, and the fact that the older brother had websites that he was linked to from Al-Qaeda and what have you. Well, I've come to the conclusion that there's more than one influence. It's complicated, and as these things often are. And I point out to you the tweets that the younger brother left from Eminem and first from Jay-Z right after the bombing. He was into rap music that promoted violence and drugs, and he was into both of those things. However, it's not as simple as saying, hey, it was just the culture of death in the United States. That was part of it, and it's been part of much of the violence that's gone on here in our country. But there is no denying that Islam had an incredible influence on the older brother, and he was the ringleader. And there's also no denying, if we look at this honestly, that there are definitely surahs or verses in the Quran that indicate violence should be taken up against the infidels, against the unbelievers. In fact, it's interesting, as much as our own government here in the United States has tried to be politically correct and tried to espouse Islam as a good, healthy world religion, or at least be innocuous to it or tolerant of it as, hey, that's not really the problem. It's people that radicalize it and what have you. The reality is that even the Pentagon, in trying to get to the bottom of what's been the major influences behind these suicide bombers, in all these, men and sometimes women who've just blown themselves to pieces in the name of Islam, what has been the overriding influence? And the Pentagon, in a 2006 study, with their intelligence analyst pinpointed the Quran, the holy book of Islam, as being the ultimate root of these suicide bombings. That's our own Pentagon, folks, in 2006. Now, if we approach this honestly and look at the Quran, we would read in Surah 8:12 of the Quran, it states this, "I will instill," and I quote, "I will instill terror in the hearts of the unbelievers. Smite ye above their necks and smite all their fingertips off them," end quote. I mean, how many videos have we seen? And hopefully you haven't had to see many. I've seen a couple where they actually take journalists, they take people they disagree with in Islamic countries and those of other faiths, those who have left Islam, and they take their heads off. It's interesting, the book of Revelation, it talks about in chapter 13, when the mark of the Antichrist comes out, that people will be beheaded en masse. Again, in the Quran, it instructs to spread terrorism on the infidels or unbelievers in Surah 8:59. Quote, "Against them make ready your strength to the utmost of your power, including steeds of war, to strike terror into the hearts of the enemies of Allah and your enemies," end quote. Now, folks, surahs or verses like this from the Quran and many, many like these, others, several verses like this, are used over and over again in Islamic countries to foment terror among those non-Islamic countries. Now, it's amazing when you think about this, because at the same time you look and you realize, wow, you know what? I know Muslims. In fact, I've had many great conversations with Muslims through the years where we agree to disagree, and there's no violence. There's peace and what have you between us. And it's like, well, what's the difference? I mean, how come many Muslims are like this, and how come many are nice and what have you? We have to understand that many Muslims understand the Quran differently. In fact, there are many, many verses that talk about using the sword and spreading Sharia law by force, yet there's other Quranic verses that talk about peace. Well, many Muslims understand the land of peace and the land of war, kind of this dualism. There's Islamic lands are considered by many Muslims as the land of peace. And non-Islamic lands are called the land of the sword. So if Sharia law has been implemented in a Muslim land and Islam is ruling, of course, there's various sects, the Sunnis and the Shiites and Sufis and all these different sects, and many times they're at war with one another. But the general rule of thumb is that, hey, if a land is ruled by Sharia law, it's a land of peace. However, if a land is not ruled by Sharia law, it's the land of the sword, and that's where the sword must be used to overcome. Now, sometimes education is used, mosques are built, they try to spread Islam peacefully, but many Muslims understand, hey, this is going to have to take place ultimately in many lands by the sword, and it's therefore called the land of the sword. Now, you have Quranic verses that speak of peace, and you have many that speak of bloodshed, of actually seeking out your enemies and finding them and killing them and what have you. And well, what gives? I mean, what's the context there? Many Muslims understand that the Quranic verses that deal with peace and treating people nicely have to do with the past, when Muhammad tried to spread his Islamic faith peacefully at first. Well, that didn't last very long, because he resorted to crusades from almost the beginning, folks. And we don't have time to get into the history of Muhammad right now. But he picked up the sword pretty swiftly after he realized that people weren't going to be open to his message. And he's basically set the example, folks. And therefore, many Islamic scholars believe that any peaceful verses toward the enemy, other countries, those who don't hold the Sharia law, those who have a different way of life, have been abrogated. And they have been replaced by later revelations that have to do with the sword. So it's real important that we understand that. That's how many, I'm not saying all, that's how many Muslims understand the Quran, that the violence verses supersede verses that have to do with peace, because those verses of peace have been abrogated by Allah through Muhammad, and that now Islam is supposed to be spread through terror, i.e., you know, suicide bombings, wars, and what have you. Now, this is absolutely contrary to the teaching of Christianity. Even though Islam would like to teach and claim that, hey, the Bible is actually the book that preceded the Quran, and that the Bible is also one of the holy books from Allah. But folks, the gospel of Jesus Christ and the teachings of Muhammad and Islam are diametrically opposed to one another. In fact, one time, a couple of Jesus' disciples, you know, they were dealing with a city that wouldn't accept the gospel, and a couple of his disciples suggested to Jesus, hey, Jesus, why don't you just bring fire down from heaven and torch them? And Jesus basically said, are they out of their mind? In fact, what he said to him, he says, you do not know what spirit you are of. And now scholars, biblical scholars and commentators see that that could be taken two different ways. Could be understood that you are of the Holy Spirit, and that's definitely not from God. Or you are of the wrong spirit right now when you're making that point. In fact, Jesus said, if you live by the sword, you will die by the sword. In fact, Jesus said, if someone smites you on one cheek, turn the other cheek and let them smite that one as well. In fact, Jesus said, when you go and share the gospel with somebody, if they don't accept it, he didn't say kill them or implement Sharia law or anything like that. He said to wipe your feet and go to the next home. In fact, the Bible says, don't return evil for evil. Jesus said, love your enemies. In John chapter 18, verse 26, Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. If it was of this world, then my servants would fight. The gospel is called the gospel of peace. As Christians, we are ambassadors. In fact, somebody bombing themselves in the name of Christ, God forbid that would ever happen, because it would not be in the true name of Jesus, because Jesus never instructed any such thing. They would go straight to hell. In fact, the Bible says no murderer has eternal life in him. Well, what about the 72 virgins? I mean, Islam promises, you know, for the suicide bombers, at least the way millions of Muslims understand it, that they'll, you know, be glorified in paradise and have 72 virgins that they can have celestial sex with for eternity. Well, no, the Bible teaches something quite different. In fact, many believe, now believe that the Quran actually teaches something quite different. In fact, Christoph Luxemburg, in a book that came out recently, I think it came out last year, it's been hailed by Semitic scholars with the Semitic language at Princeton and Yale and other universities as a breakthrough book on understanding old words that weren't understood in the Quran. In fact, the German scholar Luxemburg comes to an interesting conclusion that the word for virgins there, if understood in Syriac and how it's believed that that would have been understood in those days, is not virgins at all, that these suicide bombers aren't going to be greeted by 72 virgins, but the word actually means white raisins. So instead of getting 72 virgins, they would get, you know, they were promised white raisins in paradise. What a bummer. You know, what a bad deal for these guys, right? I mean, here they are blowing themselves to pieces and they're thinking they're going to get these 72 virgins for eternity, and all they're really promised is white raisins. You know what, folks? They're not even going to get white raisins. That would be a blessing compared to what they're going to get, because the Bible does say no murderer has eternal life in them. You know what? You know who we really need? We need the Lord Jesus Christ, man. He's the Prince of Life. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. He does not call us to go kill each other and kill one another to spread Christianity. He gave his life and died for us so we could be saved. That's our awesome God. And my hope and prayer is that Muslims and Hindus and Jews and Methodists and everybody else who lives their lives, that they would make sure they come to the Lord Jesus Christ and they're saved through his shed blood on the cross before it's too late. God bless you, folks. We want to thank you for being with us at the Good Fight Radio Show. We look forward to being with you next time. Until then, we encourage you to press on to know Christ and to make him known. Keep your eyes on the Lord and your hands upon the plow. God bless each and every one of you.
You've been listening to Pastor and author Joe Schimmel on the Good Fight Radio Show. To learn more about Good Fight Ministries, please visit goodfightradio.org, where we feature many eye-popping and life-changing resources on DVD and CD, as well as an archive of previously aired shows. You can visit our podcast page at goodfightradio.org to find many of Pastor Joe's full Sunday morning teachings. If you've been blessed by this show and would like to share this blessing with others, you can help support our ministry by visiting our donate page also at goodfightradio.org. Or you can write to us at P.O. Box 2202, Simi Valley, California, 93062. Or call us toll-free at 1-866-JC-TRUTH. That's 1-866-528-7884. We thank you for tuning in. Join us next time on the Good Fight Radio Show.